I've just signed a bill outlawing the Soviet Union. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. That was the best Ronald Reagan joke ever. Ronald Reagan was a statist, but he did tell some good jokes. As I've said before, Ronald Reagan was one of the better presidents in recent times as far as his rhetoric. I mean, you know, he said all the right things. Government is the problem, not the solution, all this other stuff. But, yeah, words are one thing, actions are another. Still, reading some of the stuff he said is good. Just understand he didn't really mean any of it. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, and moan like your girlfriend moans when I fuck her. You can be really tight like a 17-year-old red-headed virgin. Don't forget my friends and my enemies and people who don't know anything about me yet. The third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. That's probably how this is gonna fucking work out. Even if it is early Monday morning here at the studio recording the podcast. Oh, hi! I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. 10 fucking years of podcasting. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys motherfucking statists all around the world. 10 years of podcasting. I thought about something the other day. Was podcasting actually around 10 years ago? And here's the very short story, because we don't have a lot of time, because we're mowing down statists with 50 caliber machine gun. I was blogging, and I still hate the word blog. I was blogging before blogs existed. And I was podcasting almost right about the time before podcasting actually existed as a phrase. I even did vocal warm-ups. I still can't talk. So yeah, I came into podcasting before anybody really knew what podcasting was. It was right at that moment. I don't think I even called it podcasting at the time. I just had this, like, you could go on the internet and find MP3 files. And I remember thinking, well, fuck, why don't I just, instead of writing, because of course Stating the Obvious started off as a written format, I just thought, well, instead of writing this shit, because my sarcasm, I'm terrible at translating my sarcasm into the written word. So I just thought, why don't I just make MP3 files and I'll stick them on the internet and then you can embed it and you do a little M3U. This was way back in the day. I mean, this was before all the technology now. So you used an M3U file to stream the MP3 from your website. And so I had all this shit. And it's like, yeah, I was podcasting before anybody knew what podcasting was. I was blogging before anybody knew what blogging was. I am so fucking far ahead of you people that my dust has settled by the time you even get there. That, or I'm, of course, also a late adapter on other things. I was the last person on my block to buy a DVD player. I still don't own a Blu-ray player, nor do I have any intention of ever purchasing one. As the last person to buy a CD player, I was listening to cassettes when people were still listening to CDs. All right, nobody gives a shit about that because we're here to wrap up talking about the book Marissa Mayer and The Fight to Save Yahoo by Nicholas Carlson. We got to get this book out of the way done and move on. I got Roosh shit to talk about, the pile. Oh, fuck, man, my pile is exploding again. So we got to make this happen. I'm the great one himself, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs, in the control room over there, the lovely and adorable Randy. Email address if you want to send us comments, questions, opinions, photos of you naked. Please don't send photos of other people naked unless you have their permission. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I appreciate you guys sending pictures of your girlfriends with cucumbers in their orifices and all that other stuff, but you know, make sure you have their permission before you send me that stuff. That's something else I want to tell you. God, I have so fucking much to talk about. Oh my God! I have so much on the list. Oh, the list is getting huge. All right, huge. I said huge. Yeah, it's huge. All right, let's knock out Marissa here. Did I forget anything? Oh, today is the 20th of July, 2015. Thank you, dear. All right, let's get back to Marissa and start looking at her meltdown. We are on page 306. Ah, yes, failing fast. So apparently Marissa has a philosophy of failing fast, which means you try things and you throw them out there, and if they fail, then you very quickly move on after learning from the experience, which I've heard other people articulate, and which I think is generally a good approach. Not, you know, not necessarily always. It's not, like, maybe if you're building a bridge, you don't want to fail fast. You want to do it right the first time. But for many things in life, I think that the failing fast, learning from that experience, taking that learning and applying it and trying something different, I mean, that's a really good way to do it. I mean, for example, meeting girls, that's a good example of where you should fail fast, right? Go out there, talk to chicks, get shot down, learn from the experience. I know some people, don't say shot down, that's negative. Yeah, it is. But look, talk to girls, learn from the experience, move the fuck on. Fail fast. So it's a good approach to life and to business in many, many circumstances. Okay, what am I supposed to be reading on page 306? Does it fucking, did I put that in my notes? No. La 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 la. Along with her penthouse in the Four Seasons, Marissa Mayer and her family also kept a house in a leafy neighborhood in North Palo Alto. The neighborhood was not a long walk from the Stratford, where Mayer used to rollerblade on the weekends when she worked at Google. Some people called the area Professorville. It looked like a classic American suburb, only there were more Teslas in the driveways than minivans. Unlike the wealthy financiers around New York who built bulky mansions in Greenwich, or the entertainment moguls near Los Angeles who live in sliding glass homes up in the hills, the tech elite of Silicon Valley spend their money trying to buy their way into Norman Rockwell paintings. They buy $5 million ranch homes with white picket fences, sidewalks out front, and small separate garages. The really successful people from the industry, like Mayer, Google's Larry Page, and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, buy the homes around theirs just to make sure the area stays nice. Ah, you see, these rich people. They're just like us. They buy the homes around their home. Oh, it must be nice. Oh my God, it must be really nice. Whew, it's good work if you can get it. Mayer loved the Midwestern feel of Professorville. Yeah, in the Midwest, that's what everyone does in the Midwest. Everyone buys their home and then all the homes around it. That's how they live in the Midwest. And she did as much as she could to contribute to it. She threw a big summer cookout every June for her birthday. She throws herself a birthday party. Nobody else will throw a birthday party for her. She's got to do it herself. Oh, okay. That's kind of pathetic. I'm not going to lie. I threw myself a birthday party once in my life. Looking back at it in retrospect, it was pretty fucking pathetic. If you have to throw your own birthday party, you might be a loser. Every October, Mayer would host a pumpkin carving contest for her neighborhood. Once she turned a neighborhood home she owned into a haunted house for kids. So are these houses that she owns, are they just sitting here empty? Like, seriously, so they buy the houses around their house and the houses just sit there empty? Wait, hold on. Now, if you ask Larry Page and Mark Zuckerberg and Marissa Mayer, who purchase the houses around their house and just let those houses sit there empty. If you ask any of those people, do they care about the homeless? Why, they would say, why, yes, of course we care about the homeless. Oh, we are such compassionate left-wing statists, and we voted for Obama because he's going to help homeless people. And oh, we have so much compassion. Oh, we ooze compassion from our bodies. We care about the homeless so much. Oh, we're so compassionate. Oh, God, I'm fingering myself and just thinking about how compassionate I am for the homeless people right now. I am Marissa Mayer. Oh, and I care. I care so much. So if you care so much about the homeless people, and the homeless people are homeless because they don't have homes, and you own these homes that nobody is living in, well, if you actually gave a flying fuck about homeless people, what might you do? Oh, what might you do? Fuck! Oh, this is like patriarchy. I feel patriarchy oppressing me right now as I try to think. Let's see. Homeless people don't have homes. Rich people own homes nobody lives in. Rich people care about homeless people. Oh, maybe the rich people could let homeless people live in those homes. Oh, wait, we can't do that because there's no homeless people in Norman Rockwell paintings. Well, we can't have those nasty, filthy, disgusting homeless people in our neighborhood. No! We should, now using tax money taken from people who work for a living, taken from people who actually show up for their meetings on time, unlike Marissa Mayer, taking tax money from people who show up on time where they're supposed to be, and building homeless shelters in places where other people live. See, that's okay. But, oh, we rich Silicon Valley fucking social media fuckers. Well, we can't have any nasty, disgusting little homeless people in our neighborhoods. No. No, of course not. Because, you see, Marissa and Meyer and Mark Zuckerberg and Larry Page, oh, they're special. They're better than you and me. See, they care. They're compassionate. They voted for Obama. None of Mayer's frolics compared to her Christmas party. It was always her most elaborate bash of the year. In 2013, the theme was Christmas flannel. PJs recommended. 200 or so neighbors, friends, and colleagues came. The first thing the guests saw when they arrived at Mayer's house was real snow all over her front lawn. This was unusual for Palo Alto, where the temperature hardly ever dips below 40 degrees. Mayer had the snow shipped in. Now, how many fossil fuels were burned? Remember, we're pretending that global warming is real. And of course, Marissa Mayer, I mean, she cares about global warming, right? You know she does, just like she cares about homeless people. Global warming is a fucking priority for her. She cares because she has compassion and sensitivity and empathy, all those things that come with being a left-wing statist woman, you know, who just cares so much. And, you know, she probably could have saved the entire world right now if it just wasn't for the patriarchy holding her down. How many fossil fuels were burned? How much CO2 was released into the atmosphere so that she could ship some actual real snow to her front yard for a Christmas party? And those of you who work in cubicles at corporations, or in your future will be working in cubicles at corporations, remember, this is the sort of person that you're working for. Yeah, you're going to get a bunch of money, but you're never going to get as much money as the CEO. Everything you're doing, well, sure, you're getting stuff out of it. Let's not pretend you aren't. But everything you're doing at the corporation is there to enrich the shareholders, the board of directors, the CEOs, and the upper echelons. These are the people you are busting your ass for 60 hours a week in a fucking cubicle. I don't need to read the rest of that section. Page 310, fifth paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, speaking of enriching other people, here we go. Then, on January 15th, Yahoo announced that DiCastro would be leaving the company effective the next day. Now, DiCastro is the guy that Mayer hired without properly vetting him. Turns out he wasn't as good as he claimed he was. Apparently, he didn't have the formal education, he claimed, which of course to Marissa Mayer is apparently a big deal, because she said she wasn't going to work with Gwyneth Paltrow because Paltrow didn't go to college. Even though Gwyneth wrote a successful cookbook, Marissa Mayer wasn't going to allow Gwyneth Paltrow to be part of Yahoo's universe because she didn't have a college degree. This person lied about his college degree, and Marissa hired him anyway, because she's a dumb bitch. Anyhow, January 15th, Yahoo announced DiCastro would be leaving the company effective the next day. In a filing with the SEC, Yahoo said DiCastro would receive the severance compensation guaranteed to him in his employment offer letter. After examining the offer letter, executive compensation firm Equilier, whatever, estimated that DiCastro's total compensation for 15 months of work was, he worked 15 months, and he didn't really work, according to this book. He just sort of hung out and ignored his responsibilities. How much do you think this guy got paid for 15 months? How much money do you think was taken away from the shareholders? How much money was taken out of the pool that potentially could have gone to the employees, who for 15 months were actually in their cubicles doing actual work? And how much cost do you think was passed on to Yahoo's customers via rate increases? Whatever. I still don't know what the fuck Yahoo even sells. I still don't understand how Yahoo makes money. I still don't know what Yahoo does to have income. 15 months of work, $109 million for 15 months. You don't need a college education, guys. You just need to lie about having the college education and lie to somebody who's dumb enough to believe you. Get yourself a really good fucking offer letter, and you too can get $109 million. I just had an idea. Okay. Make up a false background for yourself. Degrees, all this other stuff, say that you've been a CFO or whatever, and like pitch yourself directly to CEOs of corporations, and all you have to do is meet them and be personable enough that they decide to hire you without the background check, without doing anything to look into who you actually were, and then just make sure you get a fucking job offer, what is it, employment offer letter that stipulates a fat compensation package. Then just do nothing. When they find out you lied and that you're incompetent, they have to fire you and give you the severance package. This could work. This could be like the Nigerian letter scam aimed at CEOs. This could serious. This could work. I'm gonna have to think about this. This could work. This could fucking work. All right, page 300. It worked for him. $109 million for 15 months of neglecting his job responsibilities. I wonder, whoever the fuck Yahoo's customers actually are, I wonder what they think of that. I wonder what the shareholders think of that. I wonder why Marissa is still in charge of this company. Assuming she is, I'm not really keeping up on Marissa or Yahoo. Page 312. Okay. In March 2014, Marissa announced that she would, in a few weeks, do another anonymous Q&A session with Yahoo employees. Once again, employees wanted answers about Yahoo's quarterly performance review system. Again, if you've jumped in, you should be listening to the first three parts to put all of this into context. The first three parts of the podcast, I mean. This is part four, talking about this book. She has a shitty evaluation system. It's not the system itself isn't shitty. The parts that's shitty is that she has a quota where a certain percentage, you rate the employees 1 to 5, and she has it set up where there's a quota. So a certain number of employees have to be rated 1, a certain percentage, I should say, have to be rated 2, a percentage at 3, a percentage at 4, and a percentage at 5. Mayer decided to handle the questions and the meeting a little differently this time. In mid-April, she went on stage in front of the Purple Curtain in Earls and told the many thousands of Yahoo employees watching her that they were lucky she was willing to take anonymous questions from employees and answer them in public. She said that all of her CEO peers thought she was nuts. Then Mayer told the employees the problem was not with her system, but with the 1 in 5 Yahoo managers who did not understand how the system worked. They were damaging it for everyone else. Mayer said that instead of going over questions one by one, she had a few slides to show on how her QPR system works. She began to lecture. Yes, you see, the problem isn't with Marissa's system. No, of course not. See, her system is perfect. Why? Well, because she's a left-wing statist and she's a female and she has compassion and she cares and she voted for Obama and she brought in real snow for her Christmas party and burned a bunch of fossil fuels in the process. She also owns homes that are empty even though she cares about homeless people. So the problem could not possibly be with her system. No, of course not. The problem is not with the quotas she's imposing. The problem is that her employees, her middle managers, her managers, as she calls them, just don't understand. Oh, they just don't understand how enlightened and intelligent she is. Here's some facts. Fact. If you're fact, well, let's start with this fact. Fact. Your employees, and this includes your managers, if you're the CEO, that means everybody under you is your employee. The guy you gave $109 million to go away, he's your employee. Fucking janitor, your employee. The managers, your employee. Everybody under you is your employee. Your employees are your fault. I work at a number of different places because this is a cast, you know, I do theater. I do theater at various theaters and work for different companies all around the area. So I see a wide range. And most everywhere I go, I hear people in charge at some point or another complaining about their employees. Larry Winget said it in one of his books. I don't remember which one, but you should read all of his books. Your employees are your own damn fault. If your employees suck, it's because you suck. They're so lazy. Oh, the people, they're so stupid. Oh, the people who work there, who hired them? You did. Who's not firing them? You are. Your employees are your own fucking fault. I am fucking sick to fucking death of hearing, whether it's CEOs, whether it's mom and pop business owners, I don't give a fuck. Now, if you're in a situation such as I was when I worked at CSU, and I understand this happens, right? In some situations, you have either no control over who is hired and who is fired, or you have very limited control. Now, that I can understand. But when you are Marissa Mayer, CEO of Yahoo, I'm pretty fucking sure you can fire people. And when you're a mom and pop business owner, oh, you can fire people. And when you are the hiring authority, you're making the decisions about hiring. And when you're the firing authority, you're making the decisions about firing. So I don't want to hear this shit from you people about how your employees suck. Your employees suck because you suck. Now, why do your employees suck? So Mayer is up here, Marissa is up here blaming these problems, not on her system, but on her managers. It's the manager's fault because they just don't understand. Well, all right there, Marissa. Here's your next set of facts. If your employees are not doing their job, there are only two reasons why they're not doing their job. By not doing the job, I mean either just not doing it at all, like the $109 million baby boy did, not doing the job at all, or doing the job wrong in some sense, which is what Marissa is saying in this case. She's saying the managers aren't doing this right. They don't understand how the system works. Okay, so only two reasons why employees don't do their jobs. It's because they don't know how to do the job, or it's because they don't want to do the job. Now, you can fuck it. Again, it's like the gender binary. You can try to get around it all you want, but it's still there. Same thing with this. You can come up with all kinds of fucking touchy, oh, I have ADHD, or you can say you were oppressed by the patriarchy, or you know, you were confused about which bathroom to use on that particular day because you have a fluid gender identity. You can come up with all the fucking excuses you want about why you or another person is not doing their job. I fucking promise you, as much as this hurts your goddamn feelings, it boils down to one of two things. Any employee not doing his or her job, see how politically correct I was, I said his or her. Oh my God, I said his or her. That was so insensitive to the transgendered. Because what if they're gender fluid or transgendered and they don't you know, identify with either the his or her pronoun. God, that was so oppressive. I'm really sorry. I'm going to try to create a safe space for those of you out there. I'll be sure to put a trigger warning on this podcast. Remember when saying his slash her was the height of political correctness? We're at the point now where his slash her is probably going to be considered oppression. That's how fast political correctness is moving forward. All right, anyway, what the fuck was I talking about? Yes, there's only one or two reasons. Either the people don't know how to do their job or they don't want to. If your employees don't know how to do the job, and by don't know how to do the job, I can expand that a little bit and say they don't know how to do the job to the standards and expectations with the conclusion that you are expecting from them, okay? So if they don't know how to do the job, that's your fucking fault because number one, you need to make the standards clear. Number two, you need to make the sort of end point clear, right? How do you know the job is done correctly? Second of all, how do you go about doing the jobs, right? What are the standards for the procedures? And then you just need to make sure that they're properly trained. All of that is up to you. So if her managers don't know how the system works, that's her fucking fault. It's up to her to educate them, to teach them how the system works, to explain to them, this is how I want the system applied, this is how the system should be applied, these are the methods for applying the system, this is what the end result should look like. That's up to her. They shouldn't have to fucking walk around in the dark and figure the shit out. If your employees don't know how to do their job, that's your fucking fault. and you can fucking blame whatever you want. You can fucking say, well, millennials are stupid. You know, you can say they didn't go to college. You can say they're whatever fucking excuse you want to make as the person who owns the company. You can make that fucking excuse, but you're wrong. If your employees don't know how to do their job, that's your fault. It's not their fault. They're not supposed. You employees can't walk into the fucking workplace and just magically have to figure out how to do their job. It's not like learning by osmosis. You have to fucking teach them. Now, once you have taught the employees how to do their job, if they're still not doing their job, that's called laziness. That's just a lack of motivation. And you can try to fix that by putting in performance bonuses, giving raises, what the fuck ever. But most of the time, people who would be motivated by that are going to work towards it anyway, so they're going to be doing the work. After somebody knows how to do their job, if they still choose not to do their job, 9 times out of 10, that's laziness. And that's also your fault.
Well, how can I control my employees? You're lazy. How can I?
It's called fire their asses. That's how you control that. If you have lazy employees, but you lack the ball sack to terminate the lazy employees, that's your fault. As much as seeing lazy employees pisses me off in some circumstances, God, and let's be brutally honest here, you think I've never been a lazy employee in my life, you are wrong. As much as seeing lazy employees pisses me off, you know what? If you can be a lazy employee and motherfucker will keep paying you anyway, why should you put effort into it? I mean, if you're going to get a $109 million severance package for doing nothing, why the fuck should you do anything? You would be stupid to work. You would be whatever his name was, already forgotten, D something, whatever. He would have been fucking stupid to have done any work. $109 million for doing nothing. Some people might say, oh, he was dishonest, he was a liar, blah, blah. Yeah, well, he's got $109 million for doing nothing for 15 months. I'm sorry, do you have $109 million for 15 months of doing nothing? No, no, you don't? Oh, why don't you shut the fuck up? So if you can get away with being the lazy employee, all right, go for it. But if you're the boss and you're bitching about how your employees are lazy, oh, that's your fault. That's your motherfucking fault. All right, I think I've milked that. Page 312. What the fuck's on 312? Oh, that's what I just read. Page 314. Hey, we're making pretty good progress here. We might even end on time, and then Randy won't have to kill me. Fourth paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah, speaking of Marissa's inability to show up on time, just one more example. One of Mayer's last events at Cana's, Cannes, whatever the fuck that is, you know, on a C-A-N-N-E-S, you guys have all heard of it, was a dinner with executives from ad agency IPG. It was scheduled for 8:30, an inconvenient time for IPG CEO Michael Roth, but he shuffled his calendar so he could make it. Mayer didn't show until 10, so they're scheduled to meet at 8:30. Marissa shows up at 10, hour and a half late. Roth, furious, was leaving as she came in. She told him she had fallen asleep. And there it is. Well, go back and listen to my podcast about why women should not be in charge at work. There it is. Oh, I fell asleep. I don't really, you know, I'm compassionate and empathetic, and I am woman, hear me roar, and I care about the environment and homeless people, but, you know, I don't give a fuck about this meeting with you that you scheduled, you changed your schedule so you can meet with me. I don't care about that enough that for me to avoid falling asleep. And of course, even though I'm a billionaire and I own all these houses that I don't even live in, they just sit there empty, I couldn't afford to buy an alarm clock to wake me the fuck up. I can't even have I can't even afford a personal assistant to make sure I get where the fuck I get on time. Why does this bitch not have a fucking personal assistant to get her where she's supposed to be on time? I mean, if she knows, by this point, I think we've all figured out, people who know Marissa personally, people who work with her, work for her, and anyone who's read this book, everybody's figured out that she can't fucking show up on time because this is a habit that rears its head throughout the whole book. If she can't fucking show up on time, and she's got all this money, why didn't she fucking hire somebody to manage her goddamn schedule? Other rich people do it. I know this for a fact, because believe it or not, I know some rich people. I mean, do you think Obama fucking runs his own schedule, calendar, whatever? No, he's got people. Because he's, you know, as much as I despise Obama, as much as I despise, he's a piece of shit, but, you know, he's doing things when he's not on vacation, which appears to be most of the time, but, you know, he does do things, and he has handlers that fucking be like, hey, President, you're supposed to be over here at this time, we have to leave now. And he's not paying them, I'm paying them out of my tax money. But the point is, you know, the President of the United States, whoever it is, all of them have people, get them where the fuck they need to be. And if Marissa's so fucking smart, why don't you just hire somebody to fucking get you where you're supposed to be so you could stop pissing people off? But no, you're a dumb bitch and you shouldn't be in charge of a corporation. And I did, I think it was maybe two podcasts talking about why women should not be in charge at work. I suggest you go find those and listen to them. Page 319. What the fuck's happening on page 319? Oh yeah, speaking of, what the fuck does Yahoo do? I still don't know what Yahoo does. Ultimately, Yahoo suffers... excuse me, hang on. Needed a drink of gin. But unfortunately, I don't have any gin right now. I just have water and coffee. Ultimately, Yahoo suffers from the fact that the reason it ever succeeded in the first place was because it solved a global problem that lasted for only a moment. The early internet was hard to use, and Yahoo made it easier. Yahoo was the internet. The internet was flooded with capital and infinite solutions for infinite problems, and the need for Yahoo faded. The company hasn't found its purpose since. The thing it can do, no one else can. In 2012, hang on, voice is cracking. Yeah, I know. Don't try this at home, kids. I'm a professional. I've been doing this for 10 years. Remember, when you cough, cough directly into the microphone. In 2012, Mayer tried to take Yahoo back to the future and recapture that original purpose. She believed the early mobile internet was hard to use, and that Yahoo could make it easier. But Apple solved that problem with the iPhone, and Google solved it with Android. Just as Yahoo.com was a place users would go to learn about new products and services on the internet in the late 1990s, smartphones and app stores were already the places mobile users went for solutions in 2012. That had been the case since 2008, if not before. What's more, another reason the Yahoo of the 1990s was able to build so many web products that users wanted and build them so much faster than the competition was that Jeff Mallett figured out the trick of click finding, following the path users took through Yahoo's directory. Yahoo no longer has that kind of huge advantage over its competition. Yahoo also suffers from Marissa Mayer's inability to recruit talented executives. In fact, too often, people get big jobs at Yahoo not because Mayer sought them out, but because they sought Mayer and sold themselves to her. Three of her most important hires, CFO Ken Goldman, COO Henrique de Castro, and CMO Kathy Savitt, came into Yahoo this way. And yeah, this is my point. Nobody knows what the fuck Yahoo does. Other than throw large amounts of money at people like Katie Couric. Why? Because, well, Marissa's mom likes Katie Couric. Let's give Katie Couric $5 million a year to make videos nobody watches. Okay, what the fuck is the point of Yahoo? And at some point, you have to ask yourself, will anybody just be smart enough to put a fork in it and call it done? You know, at what point will the shareholders just say, hey, let's just fucking sell this company, let's get our money, and let's walk away from it because this thing is dying. It doesn't have a purpose. It's not going to reinvent itself, at least not anytime in the near future. I don't want to say never. I mean, 20 years from now, Yahoo might own Walmart. I mean, nobody fucking knows. Page 320, what the fuck's going on here? There's still hope for Yahoo. Tumblr is growing, though its user base is smaller than Facebook's or Twitter's. The users of Tumblr spend more time with the product. Yahoo owns Tumblr. And the users of Tumblr spend more time with the product. Yes, because if you go on Tumblr and you look at the people on Tumblr, it's these gender fluid, made up gender, live in their basement fucking perma virgins. So yes, people who don't have a life spend a lot more time on the internet. I'm seriously thinking about setting up a Tumblr account for Cynical Libertarian Society, only for no reason other than just to have this podcast going out on Tumblr, which, if you think about Tumblr, for me anyway, when I think about Tumblr, you know, that's what comes to mind. It's like the bronies, the men who watch My Little Ponies, and you know, these gender fluid people who have these weird pronouns. They're not his or her, they're tis and ter, and also it's just everything I've ever seen on Tumblr is just these fucking special snowflakes who are so sensitive and need safe spaces and speech control and all this other stuff. And to just take the Cynical Libertarian Society podcast and throw it into that environment, right? It's like vomiting in the punch bowl is how I view it. And if any social media account of mine gets canceled and banned, that's the one I would expect to go first. I still can't believe that I'm on YouTube, that nobody's fucking complained to YouTube and had me banned yet. I'm shocked. I am true, and this, I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is why I don't put a lot of effort into social media, because I understand that at any given moment, I can be banned from that social media because of what I say. And so any work I've put into that will be completely lost. So it's not worth my time. All right, that was all I needed off page 320. Just to point, Yahoo owns Tumblr. Tumblr. Yes, Tumblrettes do spend a lot of time on Tumblr because they don't have any kind of a fucking life. I mean, it's not like they have jobs or anything. All right, page. That's the end. I do want to read this from the... This is not the conclusion. A note on sources. Page 329, third paragraph. Okay. Where are we on time? No shit. Oh, fuck. I could have ranted longer. Nah, it's all good. This book is heavily... Hold on, rented lips. Oh, you know what I found out? Speaking of things I could ramble about, before we finish this... Damn it. I just found this out like 2 days ago. On YouTube, you can, all of your subscriptions, if you go to the subscription page, down at the bottom, there's this little button that says, download your subscriptions. And you can download your subscription info and then use that in your RSS reader, if you have an RSS reader that's, I don't know, maybe online too. But I use an RSS reader called Quite RSS, Q-U-I-T-E RSS. It's freeware. You install it on your computer. It's a local thing. It's not a fucking web-based thing that I despise for privacy reasons and functionality reasons. I know it works on Windows and also Linux. I don't know if there's an Apple version. Anyhow, so you can download all of your YouTube subscription info. Basically, you're getting the RSS links. You can import that into your RSS reader and automatically download videos from YouTube as people publish them. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, no shit. I've known this since about 2007. Good for you. You should have fucking told me because I was subscribed to all these YouTube channels like Stefan Molyneux, Aaron Cleary, Arini, so forth, so on, and I would get the notifications and I would go to fucking YouTube and I would download the video because I typically don't watch them on YouTube. I download them locally and watch them. And it's like, oh, it was such a fucking pain in the ass. Such a giant fucking pain in the ass. And then I discovered this. And I can RSS all the videos from all the people I normally watch. This is the most amazing time-saving shit I've ever seen in my life. For once, I'm going to. This is YouTube actually did something fucking useful. God, their interface sucks and pisses me off on a regular basis. But they've actually got something on there that's useful to me in a practical fucking sense. It's a goddamn miracle. Speaking of that, I'm checking my downloads here. I'm still downloading. Ooh, I'm almost done because I just started my RSSs here. So I have like 200 videos to download. This is great. This is fantastic! Fuck! For once, YouTube actually did something worth a shit. Alright, let's get back to the book. Let's wrap this shit up. This book is heavily reliant on anonymous sourcing. I would like to explain why. When I first began working on this project, I reached out to Yahoo and Marissa Mayer, seeking their cooperation. Months and many emails later, I was told it would not be coming. It never did. I frequently attempted to change this through emails and phone calls throughout the process. The last time I heard from Yahoo Public Relations about the book was when I asked if Yahoo would like to help me fact-check it. Yahoo PR told me, quote, "We don't plan on participating in the book, including fact-checking," unquote. Finally, when I completed my first draft, I offered to go over the facts reported in the book, if only as a courtesy. I never heard back. Not only did Yahoo PR and Mayer not participate, each told Yahoo employees, former Yahoo employees, personal friends, former colleagues, current colleagues, and admirers not to speak with me for the book. The reason I used anonymous sourcing was that I needed those kinds of people to speak with me to get an unbiased, either way, truth about Yahoo and Marissa Mayer. Mayer is a very powerful person, and Yahoo is a very powerful company in Silicon Valley. Many of my sources only agreed to speak with me on the condition that Mayer and Yahoo never find out they did. Many of the sources who provided me documents and agreed to be interviewed by me did so at the risk of their careers inside Yahoo, Google, and around the internet industry. Now remember, these people are all about freedom of speech, compassion, tolerance, diversity, openness. Yet, oh, if you talk to this guy who's writing a book about our Messiah, Marissa, well, we might have to fire you. And again, this shows you what statism is all about. Again, Marissa, it's just, I don't know anything about Marissa Mayer's politics, but I don't need to. Without doing any research at all, I know that she cares about homeless people. I don't have to do research to find out she believes in global warming and cares about the environment. I don't need to do research to know that she'll say things like she believes in freedom of speech and privacy. I don't need to do any research to know that this dumb bitch will make those words come out of her mouth when it's convenient. But in a situation like this, we see who these people really are. Nicholas Carlson, author of this book, approached Yahoo, said to them, "Would you like to participate in the process? Do you want to fact check this?" And they said no. That right there tells me pretty much everything I think I need to know about Marissa and her company. It illustrates the dishonesty that is these people. And remember, for those of you sitting in the cubicles over at Yahoo, You know, these are the people you're working to enrich. Is people who will say to you, if you tell the truth to somebody else about the Messiah, Marissa, or about Yahoo, or what's going on. And again, this is, I'm not talking about confidential stuff like the company's working on some new piece of software. This is confidential. Don't talk about it. We want to fucking make this work, throw it out there, make a bunch of money. That's different. I understand you don't talk about something like that. That's fine. But to throw out this blanket statement to the employees, to the former former employees being told not to talk to the person writing a book. You know, you used to work here, we don't pay you anymore, but we still own you. Maybe maybe on retirement, oh, we'll cut off your retirement, but what are they going to do? Are they going to do that? Are they going to fire people? Probably so. Would they cut off people's retirement benefits if you're retired from Yahoo and getting a pension? Maybe so. Maybe you used to work. So again, just keep in mind, whenever you hear these fucking rich, elite, CEO-type pieces of shit, like Marissa, talking about, well, anything, but especially if you hear them talking about how much they care or their compassion or just what, just basically if her fucking mouth is moving, just recognize that she's a fucking hate-filled statist cunt who can't show up on time and doesn't really give a fuck about anything except enriching herself. And if you're going to work in a cubicle, if your goal in life is to get a corporate job and sit in a cubicle, these are the kind of people you're going to be enriching. And these are the kind of people you're going to be working for and working with. You may be making six figures. And by God, there may be nothing wrong with that. And it may be worth it. No, I'm not saying turn the job down. Just keep in mind, before you go into a corporate culture, because then you're going to be one of these people giving these anonymous questions to Marissa or whatever CEO is up there saying, well, why does the employee evaluation process suck? Well, hold it. You don't even work there. I'm telling you right now, before you go work for this corporation, it's going to suck. You're going to have shit like that. And you're going, oh, no, I'm going to work for a good corporation. No, there are no good corporations. There are no good corporations. All corporations suck. All jobs suck. That's why they are jobs, because people have to pay you to do it, because if it was fun, if it was good times, you wouldn't need to be paid money in order to do it. Okay? That's how this works. You're going to get your corporate job, you're going to get your cubicle, you're going to have a fucked up employee evaluation process, and it's going to suck. It's going to suck. Gonna suck. And you're gonna slave your ass off so that some bitch like Marissa can import snow to her front yard for her Christmas party. And guess what? You're not invited.